It's a Friday, and that means we talk it over with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Ben Fred Fridays is always brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. Find out more at BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. Great alternative prior to surgery. Don't want surgery? Think Blue Tail Medical Group, located right here in Chesterfield. Hey, Ben, good morning to you. How are things going?
Good Friday morning to you, Dan. I'm doing okay. I imagine Cardinals fans are stinging a little bit after that late loss in Colorado last night. But hey, some good news. At least 4th of July is right around the corner and folks will be celebrating. And I get fired up for 4th of July, man. One of the better holidays. I think it's my wife's second favorite holiday after Thanksgiving. And I got to agree with her on that. It's a good holiday.
It's a very good holiday. But let's talk baseball. So the Cardinals, they lose the one last night. It's a really tough loss. It's a walk-off on an 0-2 pitch with two runners on in the bottom of the ninth in a tie game. And I want to look big picture, though, right now. The Cardinals just went past the halfway point. They're one game past the halfway point of the season. They're two games under 500. How would you sum up what you've seen halfway point of the season of the Cardinals' 2021 season?
Disappointing. I don't think there's any other way to put it. I picked this team to win the division. I thought they could be built to do that, and they've underperformed. They have had some bad breaks with some tough injuries, especially to their starters, but that hasn't explained exactly why they're in this place. The starting pitching has been, I think, the number one thing for them. When they have it and it's good, they tend to win, last night being a rare exception. I think last night, Dan, it's the first time in a long time that they've gotten a quality start from a starter and not won the game. Usually that means they're going to win. And oddly enough, every time a guy has gone six innings for them, he has allowed three or fewer earned runs. So that's pretty good. They just haven't had it enough. And I think you start there. And then the other equation is the offense. And, you know, it's got no excuses left. Harrison Bader is back. He's apparently healthy, rehabbed. And the Cardinals are kind of trotting him out as maybe the one piece of the offense that could be missing. I don't think a lot of people were buying that, but he's back now and has a huge at bat with a chance to change the game last night. Doesn't come through. Not that, you know, he hasn't played much, but that was an opportunity. Doesn't get it done. And then the pitching has been injuries and walks, and we saw walks become a problem again last night for Gallegos before he gives up the big home run. And, you know, the one time you want a Cardinals reliever to throw a ball on an 0-2 count, he can't do it. He throws a meatball. It's been tough with some bad trend lines. So overall disappointing. That said, I'm not to the point where I think this season is totally a lost cause. I think the Cardinals need help. I think they need help from the front office. I think the worst thing about this season, the biggest mistake, is that the Cardinals over bet on their pitching depth. And I like their depth headed into spring training. But after that, when guys started going down, when Michaelis went down, the Cardinals didn't react. When KK got hurt at spring training, the Cardinals didn't react. And then really when Jack Flaherty got hurt, they needed to do something then right now. They needed to do something immediately. They didn't. And now they're in a jam where they know they need to add starting pitching, good starting pitching, but they're at a point in the season where it's the most expensive. So we'll see which way they go, but that's clearly what they need.
Yeah. What do you think they do at the trade deadline? We're now under a month away. A lot of it depends on where you're at in the season. I get that. But, you know, where do you think the deficiencies lie? Because there's a lot of warts on this team. What do you think you do?
Well, I think that you're to the point where you're probably not just going to be able to justify rental trades because you're not going to be in a point where you can, you know, start flipping guys for guys who could walk after the season's over. If they keep this kind of track record, I mean, they got a sweep against the Diamondbacks, but that's the only team that they've been able to beat. And they've been playing some bad teams. So I think you got to look at some trades that probably help you now, but also later. Maybe some non-rental type starting pitchers, because if this season's taught the Cardinals anything, it's that they could really have some depth added for starting pitching moving forward. Michaelis isn't all of a sudden going to not have concerns next season. Dakota Hudson will be coming back from injury. You don't know how that's going to go. And Carlos Martinez won't be there. which could be a good thing for their pitching staff. They're not, you don't know how Alex Reyes will be. I mean, they have enough question marks that if they're going to add a starter to help now, get a guy who can help you after that. Make some smart baseball trades. Don't just make all in for 2021 trades. There's still ways this team can improve. I don't know what they're going to do, Dan. We're hearing the same things we always hear from the Cardinals around the trade deadline. It's hard to make trades. They don't want to give up their top prospects. They're reluctant to go get rentals. But here's the deal. The Cardinals have not really made a win now series of moves at the trade deadline. You got to go back to 15. Everybody goes, well, Brandon Moss isn't that good, but they didn't just get Brandon Moss in 15. They got Jonathan Broxton. And as you remember, Jonathan Broxton was a freaking beast for that team that went on to win 100 games and win the division. And they were a heavyweight rolling into the postseason. It didn't work out for them, but they did get a little aggressive in 15. We haven't seen that from them since. So you can justify and say, look, this team should be going for it. Could be last ride with Yadi and Waino. You know, prove to Arenado that you're trying to win. And that all makes sense. It's what I'd like to see them do. But if you can't beat anybody but the Diamondbacks and the trade and that trend continues, you know, when you go play the Giants and when you go play the Cubs to before the All-Star break, then it doesn't matter what you add. It won't be worth adding to. So at that point, you know, if the bottom continues to drop out, the Cardinals probably have to look at, should they sell off? And nobody wants to talk about that. But if you're going to sell off, then you're selling off probably Wainwright or Molina or both. And that's what a real sell-off would look like. I don't see the Cardinals doing that, but if they keep losing, then you have to have the conversation.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting with the comments made by Adam Wainwright to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic this past week. He said, this could be my final ride this half season, or maybe next year, but next year is definitely going to be it. So we do know some finality to it. If he's pitching like he did last night, there's no reason to think he wouldn't come back for another year. Because physically, he's still getting people out. Man, that was fun, again, to watch him pitch. It's a treat to watch him every fifth day. It really is.
Well, I enjoyed listening to you and Brad explain kind of, you know, what you guys were seeing. Waino didn't have his best stuff, and his pitches weren't moving like he would have liked. But, you know, it's kind of like a boxer who just picks a different way to attack. You know, he and Yadi are so good together. He's so resilient. You know, you can see it in his face when he's locked in. The way he's standing on the mound, it kind of looks like he's about to do that old school Western draw, you know, like he's about to pull his revolver from his hip holster. He's just locked in and it's basically saying, okay, I'm not at my best, boys, but I'm going to throw strikes and defense get ready because we're going to get after it. And man, you end up wondering, well, so they just left him in the whole time. I mean, I think Schilt played it exactly right. Didn't get it done in terms of the pitching moves, but I mean, just a pleasure to watch. And you know that part of him has to be thinking, look, Adam Wainwright wants to be a Cardinal his whole life. He's never would want to leave. But my God, if you're Adam Wainwright and some team wants to pick you up to make a push for a championship and your team's going down in flames, you know you'd have to think about it. And you know, that's kind of where the Cardinals are, is you could see this going anyway. I was encouraged to some degree by what they did against the Diamondbacks, but as you and others – and I have pointed out the Rockies are not a pushover at home for whatever reason this season. And they're going to play two really competitive teams after that. One in which has been very good in the Giants. So the Cubs, maybe they've lost their way a little bit, but meanwhile, the Brewers just keep ticking along and they missed their chances to go out and get help. Now if they want to be competitive, they want to make a real push at this thing. They've got to pay that trade deadline luxury tax that comes with making deals when they hurt. And based off what we've seen with the Cardinals, they don't like to do that, but it's going to take them saying, okay, we're going to ignore the record. We think this team is better than it is. Here are some reinforcements. Let's see if we're right. It's not going to be one of these situations where the front office can say, hey, the team needs to prove to us that it needs help, because the team should have proved it needed help when they were winning games with good starting pitching. And now they don't have that. So they need it if they're going to have even a chance.
What do you think about Arenado going back to Colorado as an all-star? And I said this on the game last night. He has been who you thought he might be when you traded for him. He's going to wind up with 25, 30 bombs, drive in over 100, on a team that has deficiencies offensively, and he probably wins the Gold Glove. Key Brian Hayes is going to win one of these coming up, but he's been out too much this year. So this is the guy that you thought you're going to get. I think he's been exactly what you thought in St. Louis.
High expectations, and he's delivered them, right? I mean, he's on pace to go over 100 RBIs. He's going to have 30-plus homers. I think he's going to get hot on this road trip. I know he didn't have a great game first against Colorado, but remember what he did last time he played the Rockies, and he started taking off, and it started in that series. His power is up considerably on the road. I kind of wonder if he's going to finish into the All-Star game on a tear here. He's been as advertised. I think there's been a little shakiness from him defensively, more than we are used to seeing, in part because he was getting used to playing with a new team. And I think that's going to continue to level out. I love his fire. I think he's frustrated right now. I don't blame him, because I think he thinks, and we all know, this team should be better than it has been. But in terms of his job, he's doing it. He's done it in all facets. It looks like everything the Cardinals could have hoped. And we still have not seen what this team can look like when he's doing what he's doing when Paul Goldschmidt gets locked in. So it's kind of like been one or the other. One of them's been hot or the other. And then we haven't really seen those twin turbo engines fire yet. If this team's going to be able to save this season and catch a groove where they can gain some ground, then we're probably going to need to see that and need to see it soon.
Image and likeness off and running in collegiate sports yesterday, and it's off and running.
Scoops, has the Scoops empire picked its college athlete to endorse yet?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm open for business, though. So,
all right. Yeah, the DMs are open, as the kids like to say.
Absolutely. What'd you think of it? It's long overdue. I love it. So what do you think?
Well, I wrote a column for today's paper, and I kind of was being a smart ass, but I sent out a tweet yesterday. I said, hey, it's noon on name, image, likeness day. I haven't seen people running outside, burning their favorite college gear, or, shredding their season tickets yet. Are we sure college sports is going to survive? Look, what I loved about yesterday was a bunch of tropes and false logic about this whole debate were proven wrong immediately. And that's hilarious to me, because multiple levels. Mark Emmert and the leadership of the NCAA told us for years and years, the reason we all love college sports is because the athletes don't get paid. Which is that to me is a non-starter. None of us go, God, I was going to go to the game on Saturday. I was going to make the drive to Columbia and fire up the grill and cook some burgers and watch and then go to the game. But then, I found out that Chase Daniel got a $500 handshake from a booster, so I don't want to go anymore. No one cares. So that logic was always bogus, but now it's been proven, because you're seeing not only the influx of this new thing, you're seeing fans react and a lot of positively. I mean, if you think it's going to kill the passion in college sports, just look at Alabama fans boycotting a certain brand of sweet tea because Auburn's quarterback announced a partnership with it. Okay. I think the passion for college sports is just fine. The other things were that, hey, this is only going to help the big schools. Well, tell that to the guys at Jackson State, Dan, who announced a partnership with a hair grooming company, a hair product company. Oh, well, it's only going to help men's athletes. No, wrong. A Nebraska volleyball player signed a deal with an apparel company. I think it gives non-revenue sport athletes, women's athletes, more of a chance to make some money. How much money would Sophie Cunningham have made at Mizzou if she was able to do this kind of stuff?
Sure.
She would have been in every ad for every place. So I like that it's off and running. I like that some of the bad logic is being shot down. There's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some kid who signs a sponsorship with some company that he has to end up apologizing for. And two knuckleheads will probably go get a deal with a strip club sponsorship and have to apologize for it. And, there's going to be some hiccups, but I do think it's overdue. And I think some of the claims that were made about the NCAA and why this won't work are going to be see-through. I wish the NCAA would have been more forward thinking with some of this, because they probably could have helped protect their amateurism argument. Instead, it's all going to come down crashing all around them because they tried to wait too long, but they smartened up. It's just a question of if they will be smartened up soon enough.
So you think the colleges, like coaches, get together And I'm serious about this. And they talk to their coaches and say, hey, when we're recruiting, we got to come up with a plan on how we can utilize this for recruiting.
Well, I think they're going to try to say they can't use it as a recruiting tool, which is kind of like me saying that, you know, I'm not going to go down after we record this when I should eat, you know, breakfast and not eat two cookies. I'm going to go do it. But, you know, they're going to say, well, we're not going to use it as recruiting. But here's the deal. And here's what's going to happen. You know, you're going to know if you're going to Mizzou or you're going to Kansas State or you're going to Oklahoma, you're going to know which opportunities are on the table for you. And that is going to be part of what factors into the decisions. And every school will be doing it. It's also, I think, going to be fascinating because I think it's actually going to help. People say, well, it's only going to help the big schools. I disagree. Alabama can only take so many players, Dan. You know what's going to help? It's going to help give Missouri or Illinois or SLU a better chance of keeping a guy who's in this area whose brand has more appeal. If you can say, hey, if you go to Oklahoma, you're going to be just another guy at Oklahoma. If you go here to SLU to come play basketball for Travis Ford, you're going to be the St. Louis kid who stayed home, and you're going to be way more appealing for that, you know, I don't know, name a place, that St. Louis Zoo billboard ad that they're doing with the favorite college athlete. You know, I think guys are going to be more valued closer to home, and I think it's going to give some of those schools a better shot of keeping them. I think that coaches are going to have to be, you know, up with the lingo about it. I think that the smart schools are going to do it the right way. I love what Mizzou announced on Thursday. They've announced a program for their name, image, and likeness. They've got, you know, a thing set up. It's going to include financial literacy stuff. They're going to teach, you know, these student athletes about how to do taxes, about how to compare offers, about how to, you know, work with Mizzou. So, hey, if you want to appear in this ad, you can. But if you want to appear in the ad with a Mizzou logo, we need to make sure that we're cool with what you're doing. And I think it's going to be a way to get this thing in the light, because here's the thing. The value's always been there. And the thing about ignoring it is it's just been that it's flowing in bad ways. It's been going through bagmen and rogue boosters and people who don't have kids' best interest. And this actually not only gets it to the kids better, it's probably going to teach them something about business along the way. And that should be part of college athletics.
I am curious that if schools are nervous when they say that, and I'm not talking about the major brands, but I'm talking about companies that are in, you know, I'm just going to use Columbia, Missouri, you know, a mom and pop store that says, okay, we got X amount of dollars to allocate, you know, towards our advertising, and X amount of dollars went to Mizzou, but now we got this chance to put Ben Fredrickson on this billboard, and are we better off putting that money, allocating it towards name, image, and likeness, where we get more bang for our buck with the individual of the kid as opposed to going to the school? Now, it's not going to break the school, but you start adding up a bunch of those, that's an impact. I do wonder if schools are concerned about that.
I think they're more concerned about that than they're talking about. And I think that a lot of the hemming and hawing about this is going to corrupt young student athletes is actually about schools. And remember, everybody likes to rant against the NCAA, but what is the NCAA? It's not just Mark Emmert and a bunch of people in Indianapolis. It's the member institutions. The schools help decide where the NCAA stands on this stuff. I think part of it is to protect their nest egg. And there's only so much money to go around. And if student athletes are getting a little bigger piece of the pie through advertising or different things, then maybe the school gets a little less. And I do think there's some fear about that, but you know what? There should be. and I think with anything, you know, there, it's the same decision, the same conversation that, you know, the Cardinals you make or St. Louis company makes when it comes to sponsoring a Cardinals player versus doing something with the team. And we probably see a lot of companies do a little bit of both. But ideally, the team and the player should have a good relationship. They realize they're benefiting each other. And it should be kind of a cooperation as much as it is a competition. Finding the right way to do that, I think, is going to be key for both the schools and the athletes, but also the businesses. You've got to know where you're going to get your most bang for your buck. And I think it will depend on what sport, what the business is, and also what the athlete is, how marketable the athlete is. Here's what I think is going to happen, Dan. I think we're going to see a lot of this early. Because if you're doing it now, if Scoops with Danny Mac is going to go get, let's say, Connor Bazelak to do something on the website once a week and pay him, there's going to be coverage of that. Like, that's a thing now because it's the first person to get the Mizzou quarterback, right? 2 weeks from now, when everybody's announced one of these, it's not going to be that big of a deal. And it's going to kind of find its waterline. And I think what we're going to find is there are some athletes who make some good coin doing this, and there are a lot of athletes who make some money but not very much, and certainly not enough about people freaking out about it. And I think it's just going to be something that we get to the point where everybody goes, okay, that's a little change in their pocket for guys and gals who can do it. But it's not, you know, it's not, we're not talking $500,000, million-dollar deals. We're talking maybe at most 20 grand over the course of a season for a student athlete. That's great money if you're in college on a full scholarship. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's going to be taking all that much money out of the pockets of big-time universities and their athletic departments.
Finally, your thoughts on just the Olympics in terms of the gymnastics, what we had in St. Louis last weekend. You were covering that. What was that like?
It was a blast. I had a lot of fun. I don't know. You know, I can't tell you three gymnastics moves: somersault, handstand, round off. That's about all I got. But I had a blast covering it, and I hope folks forgive the things I didn't know about the sport because the experience was amazing. And you didn't have to know how the scoring system works like a judge to understand that it was a great event for St. Louis. And another example of St. Louis saying, hey, if you bring it here, we'll support it. One of the biggest crowd, the biggest crowd ever for a gymnastics U.S. Olympic team trial, one session on Sunday, which was awesome. All of the gymnasts were super appreciative and just kind of in awe of the crowd for two reasons. One, it was a good time, good crowd. They were energetic too, because they've been used to competing in front of no crowds, and actually three, because they're going to go to Tokyo where they can't have their family, can't have their friends. They don't even know how many people in Tokyo they'll be performing in front of, competing in front of. So they kind of viewed it as a big send-off, and they were super appreciative. So it was a blast, and I hopefully think it'll help St. Louis's case. Their next chance to do one of these will be in 2024, and they're trying to get the U.S. swimming trials, Olympic swimming trials, which would be in the Dome. The Dome, as goofy and as old school as it is, and we know we joke about it, it's actually big enough to host two pools, which is what you have to have to try to lure a swimming trial here. And hopefully they made a pretty good case, both in their application, they're down to one of the finalists, but also in this event to show that it would be a good event to put here.
All right, buddy. Have a great long weekend. Enjoy the 4th of July. I know that's very important for you and your wife. So make sure you have
are you more of a big box firework guy? You like to do them yourself? You go to the show? You like the little fire snakes on the driveway and call it there, or what?
Honestly, all of it. If I had my choice,
you go down to the farm and get like the bazooka firework. Now because you're working all the time, but.
I do
Danny
like,
Mac retirement lifestyle. You're going to have like the bazooka fireworks out over the
explode things. I'd have no problem with that. That's
not
fun.
Real fireworks unless you're kind of risking some injury.
That's probably true. I mean, I don't want to put like, who was it? Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah. In all seriousness, be safe, people.
No kidding.
Don't go crazy. You don't want to end up in the emergency room.
No, be careful. Hey buddy, have a great 4th. Enjoyed it as always. And we'll catch up next Friday.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you then.
You got it. That is Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch. You can read him daily in the Post and online at stltoday.com. And he's with us every Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com. And this is brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group.